What's up, guys? Welcome, Hannah. I'm so glad you're here. How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic, and I'm super excited to be here, super honored on the Jamie Lynn Next America show. This is awesome.
I'm so excited you're here. Look, this is so cool because we have you representing Gen Z, and you have such a creative and like truth-bearing, desiring generation. And I watch you on media and I've met you behind the scenes. I feel like I just knew you when I met you. And I feel like you carry just, you carry a reverence for God and you carry a reverence for his word and your call on this earth. And so I just want to thank you for speaking into America and to those listening, because you're a big deal to me. Okay. Anyone who lays down their life on the altar, I'm like fangirling.
I love it.
In a healthy way. Not celebrity Christian. Okay. We're not talking about that.
Yes and amen. Well, praise the Lord. And I'm super thankful for you as well. You're awesome. I remember the first time we connected, like I loved you so much. And I love how you talk about holiness. I'm like, this girl is amazing. She's on fire for Jesus. And so I just love you so much. And I'm super honored to be here.
Thank you so much. Well, let's dive in, because speaking of holiness, you do carry this like reverence for God. And I feel like it has a lot. I know we could go 100 different directions, so we'll have to have you back. But let's talk about, like, what do you see in America right now? Because once again, for everybody tuning in, we're not going to complain about America. We love our nation. We have a reverence for God and what he wants to do. I know I keep saying that. It's probably just because, like, you have two people who are, like, madly in love with him, who have a reverence for him on here. But can you, like, we're not going to complain without solutions. So Hannah's going to provide solutions as well, to equip everyone tuning in on, like, what can you practically do to be part of what she's seeing? And so Hannah, what are you seeing in America right now?
So in America right now, I also love our nation very much. I'm so grateful for America. Honestly, I feel called to America. I know some people are called to different countries and stuff, but at least in this season of my life, I really feel called to America and Gen Z specifically, because I am Gen Z, but just the young adult ages, like millennials, Gen Z. And when I was looking at statistics for Gen Z is statistically the most suicidal, depressed, and anxious generation out of all the generations in American history. And they're also the first post-Christian generation, which means we're the first predominantly atheist generation. And so I saw that and it ignited a fire within me. Like, it didn't just like make me like, oh, like this is terrible, like this stinks, you know, like, and just complaining and stuff. You know, I haven't always been perfect about speaking about my generation, but like when I read that, it ignited a fire and a passion within me even more so to want to see my generation get back to Jesus and this nation in general. Because like when I read that statistic, I was like, wow, like this shows us that the dead and the dry and the lukewarm church is not winning all of our generations back to the Lord. And so we're seeing a rise in like sex trafficking like never before. We're seeing porn addiction. It's skyrocketing. It's insane. Like men and women, both addicted to pornography, drug, alcohol abuse, like all of these issues. And then the nation's also like, you know, especially in 2020, just we're seeing like the racism stuff come about and all this. And I'm like, oh my goodness, like this is not just something that's solved with flesh. And I feel like our nation a lot of times tries to solve these things with flesh. Like these are spiritual problems. And so I guess that's what I'm seeing a lot in our nation right now. And especially with Gen Z, like a lot of suicide and depression and anxiety. And, you know, you'd think that we wouldn't have a huge problem with that because we're supposedly the most connected generation, like with social media, but we were created for fellowship and we were created to have intimacy with the Lord. And I think that's what we lack. And that's what I'm seeing, a lot of lack of discipleship in the church. I think that's one major problem I'm seeing, is the lack of discipleship in the church. And so we were created to fellowship with other humans. And so we're behind a screen all the time and we feel lonely, and we're allowing the enemy to speak to our mind, to our thoughts, and to guide our lives. And so I guess that's the problems that I'm seeing in America right now. And yeah.
That's a beautiful view. And once again, guys, we have solutions coming. I feel, which honestly, we're not trained to seek solutions either. And I think that comes down to what you're saying about a lack of discipleship. I just came off of a call where we're gearing up for our first Next America event. And, you know, one of the things that we've noticed, and it's so big, I'm like, it's literally the last thing that Jesus said, red letter. It's like, go into the world, make disciples of all nations, teaching them to obey every word that I've commanded, and I will be with you until the very end of the age. And it's like, okay, so you're with us till the end, okay? But like, we aren't teaching, like nobody showed me how to make disciples. Nobody taught me the Great Commission. And I've been hit with it so loud, maybe the middle of last year. And then the beginning of this year, like felt commissioned by the Holy Spirit to just go. And it's amazing what God's doing. But I think that, that's something to point out, is that like, this is literally the word of God that has been absent in obedience in America. I know many are living it. I want to, you know, give credit where it's due to people who have laid down their life. But what do you think? I know I'm kind of like asking a random question, but what do you think it would look like if the church was truly discipling our generations?
Wow. Well, I have a major passion for discipleship in my generation and in the church in general. Like, I would love to see the church get back to discipleship, but I feel like I feel like we have to become disciples ourselves before we can go making disciples. And so I feel like if the church themselves will be disciples, because disciple in the Bible, it's mentioned more times than the word Christian is mentioned, and it's mentioned more times than the word believer is mentioned. So it's all throughout the New Testament, disciple, like just being a disciple of Jesus. And so if we will become students of the word, like just eating that word daily, abiding in Jesus, like we're called to do, I feel like that's when we can start truly making disciples and walking that out. And so if we will take this word, read this word, live it out, do what it says. And, you know, Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. But how will we know how to keep his commandments if we don't know his word, if we don't know what his word says? Obviously, we have the Holy Spirit, but we have to stay in this word and in his truth. And so I feel like if we will first do that as the church, as the body of Christ, get so rooted in Jesus, become disciples ourselves, become living sacrifices, like it talks about in Romans 12, like just living sacrifices. It actually says that's our spiritual worship. Like we talk about worship a lot in the church. I feel like we get hyped up with worship, but worship is truly being a living sacrifice for Jesus. So if we become living sacrifices, which means you're willing to die for the cause of Christ, like you're willing to die for Jesus and you give your life to this, to him, then you go out and make disciples, like actually taking the things the Lord has taught you and pouring into people who are especially younger than you. I think you can pour into people that are older than you as well if they don't know as much of the word, but just pouring into people that need taught the truth of God's word. If we will do that, oh my goodness, like I can just see like multiplication of disciples made and disciples made. Like if one person will go and make like two disciples and then they go and make disciples, and it just ultimately would just multiply. And I think it would make it a lot easier to fulfill the Great Commission if we were all like just truly passionate about Jesus, first and foremost, loving the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, loving his word, reading it, living it out, getting rooted yourself, and then going out and fulfilling the Great Commission, which like you said, Jamie Lynn, is what he called us to do right before he ascended. So yeah, I want to see that. I long to see that in the church. And I think that we just got to get bold. Like we have to be bold for the Lord. Barna Research. This is another crazy statistic. I love statistics.
I do too.
But Barna Research said that only 2% of Christians are sharing their faith. And that is crazy. Like I am so passionate about seeing the church become disciples themselves, getting rooted and grounded themselves, and then going out and making disciples. And I think if the older generation would come together with the younger generation, like, and we can see more mentorship and discipleship and more unity in the church, I think it would be amazing. Like I think we would see true revival across America, because we would have people who are deeply rooted in the word of God and not just this surface level revival where we get hyped up for Jesus and it lasts for like maybe a church service or a week or whatever, but true revival where people are repenting and which the Greek word for repentance means to change their mind, like repenting, turning back to the Lord. And they're solid. And it's long lasting, true revival where actually the culture around, like the moral climate in the city is actually changing and people are turning back to Jesus. And we're seeing the entertainment industry actually lose money because people are so sold out to Jesus. Or we're seeing the sex trafficking industry just like completely demolished because people are so sold out to Jesus. So
I love that so much. I'm like, there's so much meat. I mean, this interview will not be long, but it could be hours long because I love you so much. And I just want to say to people too, like I have met people, first of all, yes and amen to everything that Hannah just said. Like, I totally agree with you. And also there's this other side where, you know, there are a lot of people in leadership right now. And I feel like I'm supposed to speak to this place for people tuning in where your pastors know the word, but they don't know the man, Jesus. And it's easy for somebody to know the word, but not being rooted in how amazing he is and how wonderful he is a game changer. And I grew up in a church, which I'm grateful for, that knew the word, but there was no relational aspect with God. There was no Holy Spirit. I thought it was a Catholic thing growing up. I didn't know that Holy Spirit wanted to come live inside me. And when he did, it put a name to the one who had been talking to me my whole life. And so I just want to say to those listening, you know, maybe you were hurt by people in the church and they honestly didn't know better or they wouldn't be doing it. And it's one of these things like pray for your leaders who are not filled with the Holy Ghost. Pray for your leaders who maybe just aren't doing what Hannah just said, following the word, but it starts with you. I love what Hannah said. It starts with you being discipled and just ask the Holy Spirit to come and fill you and give you love in your heart for Jesus. Because when you read his word, you see his character all throughout. And so I just wanted to address that because there are a lot of people who are manipulating others with God's word. And those are the same people that put Jesus on the cross. They knew the word, but they couldn't recognize him when he came. And so they put him on the cross, which is so sad for many reasons. So I felt like I needed to address that. Okay, back to what you were saying. What are some other solutions that you feel are helpful for America? Or what are other things that you see and solutions that you want to speak into?
Yeah. So, and this, like, you know, a lot of times people can see this as cliche, but honestly, like when I've prayed into this, I feel like the Lord was speaking to me on this, on that our nation is going to be one to Jesus through prayer. And I think that lack of intimacy with God is lack of obedience. And so I think if we can get back to prayer in the church, honestly, like that is a really good starting point, because the Bible talks about, like, you know, the body of Christ, all of us have different callings on our life, different ministries. And so I think each and every one of us has something that we're passionate about that the Lord has like placed this desire, whether it's going after like the sex trafficking industry and working with them and getting involved and helping out however you can, or whether it's going out and like literally making, we all need to be making disciples, but just making disciples or going out and evangelizing in the streets, or if you're just at Kroger or Walmart or like the mall or whatever, you be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And this is goes along with being living sacrifices. Like if the Holy Spirit, and I've had to change the attitude in my mind, renew my mind with the scriptures on this, because sometimes I'm like, man, I have somewhere to be, like I need to get going, or I'm just too shy to like go up to a person. But the Lord has helped me change my mind on this and given me more boldness. But if you're at the store and the Holy Spirit's like, go up to that person and tell them about Jesus, you do it. Like just go out and do it. And I think these are like, you know, we read these in the Bible, we hear these in the church, but these are practical things that if we will actually just obey the Lord and one, have intimacy with the Lord, spending time with him and in prayer, I think that the Lord is going to reveal your calling to you and what you're supposed to be carrying out on a day-to-day basis. And oh my goodness, like if we will all just go out and do those things that the Lord has called us to do, like I can't imagine the impact that it would have. So I think number one is prayer, like start with prayer. Yeah. And I think that revival is truly going to come through intercession and prayer. And we look at revivals like in the past through history, they were started because of prayer, through that place of prayer, they're birthed through prayer.
Yeah.
So I think prayer is number one for sure.
I love that. I had a dream a long time ago. The Lord put a helmet on my head and was like, do you want to know what your most powerful weapon on earth is? And I was like, fire. And he was like, no. He was like, it's prayer. And he put a helmet on my head. And I woke up and I was like, whoa, that is like relationship with God is my most powerful weapon. So I love that you said that. And I totally agree. And that's how many revivals fizzled out. They stopped praying. I know you probably know that too. And yeah. I think that's what's so surreal. It's like God wants relationship with everyone who's listening in right now. And you may have used to have had a relationship with him, and maybe you've backslidden, meaning you're not pursuing him anymore. Guess what? Right now in this moment, you can turn back to him and keep going after, because we need you all in. And then also side note, I love what you said. It's like so simple and so childlike. And I love it. You were like, if you hear the Lord tell you go up to somebody and share the gospel with them, just do it. And it's like, it's that simple. Anything that would get in the way of you going and doing that is an idol.
Yeah,
like, it is. Any thought, anything that you would agree with more than that moment, is an idol. And so I love the simplicity of just do it. Like just, and you'll get more courage doing it. The more awkward you get past doing something, feeling awkward, just, you know, like keep doing it.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I actually remember the first time that I did like street evangelism. It was like years ago now, but I was so nervous. I was like, Lord, I don't know if I can just go to a random person. And it was actually during like the whole BLM stuff. And we went to like, we were just on the streets and just getting to like witness to people. And my friend's like, okay, your turn, Hannah, you go for it. And I'm like, okay. Like I was so nervous, but then the Holy Spirit just reminded me of what his word says and like how I don't have to worry. He's going to speak through me. And so I remember going up to this person. I was like, I have no idea what I'm going to say. And so I just opened up a conversation with them with this person. And the Holy Spirit reminded me of so many scripture verses to speak through to them. And I remember afterwards, I was so shocked at like how much it wasn't me and how me just stepping out and being obedient to the Lord. Like he just spoke through me. And there was like, he took away all that fear and that worry. And the more that I've stepped out and done it, the easier that it's gotten. And you just got to ask the Lord for boldness. Like that's what I've done continually. And that's what we see in the book of Acts. The disciples, they asked for boldness and then they went out. So do that, ask for boldness, go out and get it done. And like,
done. You know,
like I just said, just do it.
I love that so much. And what's beautiful is because of your time in the word, the oil in your lamp was full. You had much to pour out. You had much to give. You were prepared for that moment more than you thought. And I love those moments. Those are like some of my favorite moments, like where you give a word. Like, I never want to lose that childlike wonder where it's like, yeah. I think every time I give a word, every time I get feedback of accuracy, like when it is, I'm like, God, you are so real. Like, you're so real. Like, this is like, your word is real. You're real. Like, this is so cool. Okay. Keep going. Keep talking to us.
Yeah, but no, that's amazing. I love that. And yeah, I think it's just that stepping out, like that obedience. Like sacrifice is really important, but obedience is more important than sacrifice. And so I feel like if we would just give the Lord our obedience and actually, like I said earlier, like lack of intimacy with God is lack of obedience to God. And the Bible says, or Jesus actually said, you know, those who abide in me will bear much fruit. And so we're wanting to see America get back to the Lord, get back to revival, like true, deep, long-lasting revival. And we're prepping for Jesus to come back. But if we will get to that place where the secret place becomes so important to us, which the secret place, if you don't know, is that place where it's just you and the Lord. Like that is the place where the Lord really trained me up as I grew up. You know, I was saved around like 13 years old. I'm 22 years old now, but I just remember like that's where I truly got so rooted, was just those times with the Lord where just me and him and just spending time in his word and in prayer. And he taught me so much. And then just it came to the time where I got in my 20s and he's like, all right, like I need you to go out. I need you to get on social media. I need you to get things done. And I'm just so thankful. Like I haven't always been perfect. I haven't done everything totally right. Like I look back even the beginning of me starting social media and I'm like, Lord, like I'm so thankful that you've helped me grow so much. Like I'm so young and I'm still learning, still growing. And yeah, I'm just so thankful that when we're obedient to the Lord, we just step out. Like I've seen so many testimonies online and I just know with whoever's listening to this podcast right now, when you just give the Lord your obedience, what he's been asking you to do, but first and foremost, just that time spent in the secret place with him each and every day and get rooted in his word. It is going to be amazing what the Lord can do through you. Like the complaining will go away for our nation, because you will see what really matters, and you will be devoted to prayer, and you will just be going out and getting things done, and you will turn that complaining into just being proactive about it and just going out and getting things done. So
that's so good. I love this, because it's something that I feel like many can feel really rebellious in being obedient. But when you fall in love with God and you recognize, yeah, like, I have been set free from so much. Like, I don't know how much time y'all got, much, you know? And it's like, and people would look at my life mainly and be like, that's a really godly, faithful woman. You know what I mean? Like, and I'm like, if you only knew what I was going through back then, when you thought that, you know, it's like what I was struggling with, whatever was going on. It's like, he, seeking him has delivered me. And I am like, man, the cost of letting go of that in the world and letting go of this in the world has led to, yeah, a freedom that can only be found in Jesus. And so I think that obedience thing is very key. And I wanted you to talk into one more thing. And then, of course, please add anything else you want to before we head out. But, you know, when you step out in faith, a lot of persecution comes. And not everybody tuning in is called to media. But boy, oh boy, have I been strengthened through persecution on this, like, platform of any media ever, .com. But would you speak to people tuning in about, like, what happens? How do you feel when persecution comes? How have you handled it? What would, like, because it is coming, and I think it's important to be realistic. Like, when you step, yeah, out and you're living this life and you start changing, and then all of a sudden it's like persecution comes. Please speak into it.
Yeah. So, first of all, I love what you said there. I just want to mention that really quick, because I believe where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, there's freedom, like the Bible says. So this is not just a legalistic thing. Like, we're just in love with Jesus, and there's so much freedom in that.
Yeah.
But with the persecution thing, just to be honest, like, when I first posted some really controversial videos, and then when they first started taking off, I forget how many years ago this was now. It's maybe a couple years ago now. But I remember, like, I was not used to, like, that many hate comments. And it was just a lot of stuff attacking my identity, like who I am, maybe my looks, just different things. And I was like, I am not used to this whatsoever. And I got down, honestly. It was a couple days where I was just down and I felt discouraged, and I was like, just not used to it. But then the Lord reminded me, like, Hannah, your life is not your own, and your brothers and sisters in Christ in other countries are literally being killed for their faith. And, you know, Lord forbid, it could come to America. Hopefully not, but that could eventually come to America. And we just have to be ready. Like, my thing with the whole living sacrifice thing, I'm so passionate about teaching people about being living sacrifices, because when you're a living sacrifice, you're already dead to yourself. And so whatever the Lord asks you to do, it won't matter, because you're already dead to yourself. And this life is so short. It's so temporary. So even though there's going to be spiritual warfare or people that try to attack you or try to stop your ministry or what you're doing, like, know that we're living for an audience of one. Like, Jesus is the only one. It only truly matters to please him. Like, the opinions of man can go away, honestly. Like, you know, the Lord's had to renew my mind with that. But the opinions of man don't matter compared to the truth of the Lord and what the Lord thinks. Like, we have to realize that, like, we are supposed to be living sacrifices. So no matter what hate comments come, just brush it off and just know, like, the enemy doesn't want you to be advancing the Lord's kingdom, and he's going to use people. Like, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but he's going to use people to try to get to you. He's going to use hate comments or whatever it takes to try to stop you and your ministry and what you're doing for the Lord. So just keep going, and know that it's normal, and know that your brothers and sisters in Christ across the world are going through the same things or way worse. And that even through the Bible, we see the disciples, they were being beaten for the Lord, and they just kept on going. Like, they're like, my life is the Lord's. They rejoiced and they kept moving and they kept winning so many people to Jesus. And they saw the world flipped upside down for God. So
yeah. It's crazy to think too, like, when one of your best friends, Jesus, loses his life for the world on the cross and then, yeah, raises from the dead. I would have the fear of God in me too, to just keep going, you know, to see it with my own eyes. And so that's so beautiful. And I just felt like it would be beautiful for you to address that. Okay. Before we, peace out, is there anything else that you would like to add?
You know, I don't think so. I think that's about it. But it's just my encouragement continually just to be so sensitive to the Holy Spirit, be submitted to the Holy Spirit, be led by the Holy Spirit, and to stay rooted in the word. Like, that's the number one thing, because if you will do that, like, that will sustain you. And you can listen to all the podcasts, all the YouTube videos, all whatever, the sermons, but that is truly what's going to lead and guide your life the best possible. Like, the Lord has better plans for you than you have for yourself. So just be submitted to the Holy Spirit and his word.
I love it. Where can people find you?
So I am on YouTube, TikTok, Instagram, and Facebook. And if you would just look up my name, Hannah Williamson, it should come up, especially on YouTube, but on Instagram and TikTok, if I could say it, it's at Hannah Janelle Williamson.
And she looks like this for everybody who's looking at a clip on Instagram or YouTube, or if you're listening to a podcast, go hop on over to our Instagram and you'll see her beautiful face. That's wonderful. Hannah, I'm so proud of you. I'm so grateful for you. Thank you for speaking into America. Seriously.
Thank you so much, Jamie Lynn. I love you so much. I love what you're doing for the Lord again. And I was so honored to be on here today. This was a blast. And just keep going and keep winning America back to the Lord. Let's go.
You too. Thank you. Let's go. So speaking of let's go subscribe. Let's go like the bell and all the notification things on YouTube. That was my sister is probably rolling her eyes at me right now because she always tells me what to say there and I get it wrong. But you know what to do. Go to YouTube, subscribe. Leave a comment. We want to hear from you. And then podcasts. Now we're on Spotify and Apple. So go subscribe, leave a written review, share this with your friends, especially your Gen Z homies out there, because Hannah is definitely a profound, set apart leader in this generation that has a word for them. So thank you so much for being here. And remember, what we do today determines the America we live in tomorrow. Let's go. Thank you so much for tuning into The Next America. It would be such a joy to have you join our tribe. Our tribe consists of men and women who are monthly supporting, discipling women with Set Apart Women and The Next America. We want to help disciple men and women to go into the world, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, teaching them how to pray, teaching them how to do the things Jesus commanded us to do. If you want to join the tribe and help sow into this monthly, please visit jamielynwalnow.com and become a monthly patron.